It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
This was them on their best behavior, and they put them in a room with no running water, and these women were being told by CBP officers to drink out of the toilet.
All the people in the administration who have done this, who have permitted it, are guilty of child abuse, which is a crime. We ought to prosecute.
We don't treat people that way. We provide fresh water, we provide food, we provide sanitary and sanitary items as well as items for bathing and personal hygiene.
All right, so there you go. That's now the battle lines are being drawn. The delegation from the Democrats visited one of the Border Patrol facilities. As we understand it, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez did not go inside. That's a conflicting report. But she did not stay for the tour. She went in other places by herself. And many people are saying, people that were there and reporters reported that she was the one who was yelling, screaming at the agents, threatening the agents. Let me just read to you what I'm learning today as best I can. In regard to accusing Border Patrol agents of having women drink out of toilets, this is what she says. These women were being told by CBP officers to drink out of the toilet. They were drinking water out of the toilet. And that was them knowing a congressional visit was coming. This is CBP on their best behavior. But then, of course, when she was asked if she actually witnessed that, she said no. A CPB agent who was reportedly close by as Ocasio-Cortez toured the facility said the congresswoman is purposely misconstruing a story. So this is what happened with the migrant and drinking water from the toilet. She wanted water, didn't know how to use the faucet in the cell, and drank from the toilet. She never told AOC that we made her drink from the toilet. AOC, of course, changed it. This was when she, the migrant, was apprehended and brought into the facility. It was later clarified, by the way, this is now not a quote from, this is an article on Daily Caller. It was later clarified that the toilet in question was connected to a faucet and sink marked potable water. Ocasio-Cortez says women were told to drink water from the bowl because the faucet wasn't working. And not meaning the toilet bowl. And so it's just, agent said that she was the one behaving in the threatening manner, screaming at officers who were nearby. And this is what one of them said. I can tell you with the utmost confidence that the migrants, anyone and everyone in our custody at all of our facilities, have ready access to fresh water. That's what Robert Perez said. He's CBP deputy director. I've never heard in 26 years of being in the business, ever heard of that type of allegation being made. Let me just bring in, this is Pastor Sam Rodriguez. He's from the Hispanic caucus. He's an evangelical. He went down to the border and he was interviewed by Shannon Bream last night. And this is what Sammy had to say.
I went this past Friday. I visited the controversial center in Clint, Texas, outside the outskirts of El Paso. I was driven by the same news stories that you and I both read, compelled and driven by compassion and a concern for these migrant children. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Christian committed to righteousness and justice. So I was driven, compelled. I called the White House and I asked for access and they granted it. I went there. I was not restricted at all as it pertains to what I could ask or where I could go. Here's what I discovered. I found kids created in the image of God, and I found Border Patrol agents created in the image of God working together in a very difficult environment. I did not find soiled diapers. I did not find crying children. I did not find deplorable conditions. quite the opposite. I found amazing people on both sides trying to make a very difficult circumstance better. So I don't know where everyone else is visiting. I spoke to the Border Patrol agents, the vast majority of which, by the way, are Latino. And many of them attend the churches that are part of our network. And I asked, hey guys, did you stage this? Did you guys flip the script just to accommodate people like me? And they went, Pastor Sam, absolutely not. You are looking at the very thing that existed here for a number of weeks. So it's not that we shifted because of any deplorable conditions that were discovered. What I also discovered was that the original report, the attorneys that actually reported the soiled diapers and deplorable conditions, they never, ever walked through the center. Let me repeat that. They never visited what I visited. They took that information anecdotally from interviews with children, mind you, from the age of 2 to the age of 17.
Okay.
So the truth sets you free. What I am completely against is condemnation, shaming, and coming against those Border Patrol agents that are trying their best to make a very difficult circumstance better for those involved. Well,
you know, I found it interesting this morning. Of course, he's echoing what James Dobson said in his newsletter that we posted, I think, yesterday. There was an interesting article. I think this is from the USA Today. It was certainly in the San Antonio Express News, what I'm going to tell you. And it's these pictures of Border Patrol agents saving these migrant children in the water, actual pictures of them doing this. One is Border Patrol agent Brian Kemet passing a 7-year-old boy from Honduras to another agent after he was rescued from a swollen Rio Grande River. And the article says that in the last year, Customs and Border Patrol Protection rescue teams have responded to more than 4,300 emergencies involving 283 deaths, including those who drowned or died in the desert. And it's actually a great piece, and these pictures are very moving. What we're seeing is not what we're hearing reported from these Democratic congresswomen. Another one was on television last night, Norma Torres, and she was saying she was concerned that the agents would attack members of Congress. Alexandria Cortez said on Twitter that she was afraid that the agents might shoot her. And let me see. So then Alexandria Cortez, her chief of staff, which there's a lot to say about him, his name is Saikat Chagrabarty. This is what he tweeted. Imagine all your hateful trolls online, but with guns. Imagine walking into a fenced area full of them. No exit. You don't get to take any cameras or phones with you. And those trolls with guns, they're the ones in charge of protecting you. And so, of course, Ocasio Cortez says she didn't feel safe. They were literally, she tweets, discussing making a GoFundMe for an officer who attacked me on my tour. They confiscated my phone, and they were all armed. I'm just 5'4". They're just upset that I exposed their inhumane manner. And there's more detail about that, but you get the drift. We have this report that the Border Patrol is treating the women so terribly, and now that they are threatening Ocasio-Cortez and this other female congresswoman who went to the facility. And then, of course, this comes on the heels of this ProPublica expose, which says that they have uncovered, alas and alack, a Facebook page, private Facebook page, which allegedly has 9,500 members, and they are Border Patrol agents. Let me just tell you what it says about this page. It says, where old patrol meets new patrol, post your pics, funny, serious, and just work-related. We are family, first and foremost. This is where the green line starts with us. And it says, remember, you are never alone in this family. So then ProPublica highlights comments from this private group making fun of immigrants, making fun of these congresswomen, making fun of Ocasio-Cortez. This is what it says. It says, ProPublica says, an investigation by Reveal uncovered hundreds of active duty. This is a misprint. This investigation reveals uncovered hundreds of active duty and retired law enforcement officers who moved in extremist Facebook circles, including white supremacist and anti-government groups. That's their take on it. And then I could give you details of this. Some of it is foul language. Some of it's inappropriate, no question about it. But it's just kind of an unfiltered exchange. I would say this. I'm not defending the particular. Some of them I can't repeat. I see a lot of editorializing on what they said, a lot of assumptions, calling them white supremacists when we know the Border Patrol agents, so many of them are Hispanic. A huge amount of them are Hispanic. But, of course, the assertion is that they are racists. And you saw that associated with white supremacists. And I think that is complete editorial. And then this is one they zero in on. The picture that was on the New York Times cover that shows a dad and his little boy, allegedly, we don't know the relationship, we know how this goes, and they are face down in the water by the brush, and the story is that, of course, they drowned. And it sort of shook up the nation over the weekend, and because it's a horrendous picture. And so this is what was posted on this Border Patrol Facebook page. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and ask it. Have y'all ever seen floaters this clean? I'm not trying to be a blank, but I have never seen floaters like this. And he's talking about people who have drowned. Could this be another edited photo? We've all seen the Dems and liberal parties do some pretty sick things. All right, now, this is among agents. Look, agents are like nurses and doctors. Law enforcement agents are. Nurses and doctors have really sick humor. If you don't know that, you should know that. They see a lot of things that you and I wouldn't want to see, and they do a lot of things that you and I would never do, and they become, people become jaded. Police do. You just saw that the Army sergeant, or the Army Special Forces guy, Navy SEAL guy, who was just found not guilty, Eddie Gallagher, last night, posing by this corpse. And so that seems so odd to us, but when you are in those kinds of situations, you do become callous, and you say things that you wouldn't say to normal people. Like, you wouldn't talk about drowned people being floaters, but among agents and cops and people who see this all the time, they have their language and they talk, and it's an outlet for them to blow off steam. And so that's what I view this Facebook page as. But this is what I really want to say. This has just occurred to me this morning, and I'm going to just step out and say it. I think it's really interesting that, first of all, the Democrats did very poorly last week in their debates. Everyone says that. Even George Scarborough said it was a disgrace. So the Democrats are worried about their own performance and about their candidates. So suddenly the New York Times prints this photo of this man and his son. And everyone's pretty upset about it, and they should be, if it's an adequate photo. But then, if it's a true photo. And then suddenly, ProPublica finds this Facebook page in through their investigation of these agents who are privately, they think, sharing their inappropriate and sometimes appropriate remarks, just kind of venting their frustration. And then the Democratic females of the leftist caucus go to the border and do what they do, their little bit of drama and circus down there, after they've set up the premise that these detention centers are like concentration camps. That's what Alexandria Cortez repeated that yesterday, by the way. I just think this is really convenient, and it does sound to me a lot like what the left does to orchestrate things. They are into theater and orchestration, and they play us like a fiddle. And it did make me wonder then, as I looked at this picture of this dad and his son, I don't know. Let me just say that when people drown, if they are in the water very long, they don't have a normal appearance. If they freshly drown, this could possibly take place. They're on the shore, but he has a point. And I do not put it past the left staging something like that. I would also like to say, based on what we're learning about Facebook, I told you about that yesterday, it seems really ironic, doesn't it, that suddenly this private Facebook page has been now exposed. Because Facebook has now declared yesterday that they are going to be, they're going to be into rooting out this kind of stuff. So indeed, they did root out these Border Patrol agents. And then Alexandria Cortez and her buddies go to the border with their exaggerations and accusations and make a circus out of it. I just smell a rat. That's all I can say. I smell a rat. I have to take a break. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Did you know the Dead Sea in Israel is made up of 38% salt? Hello everyone, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the days we're in Israel, we visit the Dead Sea. And guess what? Folks get to, quote, swim in the Dead Sea. Actually, you can't swim very much. You certainly can't sink in the Dead Sea. But it's very interesting to experience that, if for only the one time in your life. So we're going to be going to the Dead Sea for a day. We're also going to be visiting Masada and many other places on that particular day. So it's going to be a wonderful experience in Israel. And we'll see all the sites you've read about in the Bible, in Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River, and on the list goes of places we will experience. If you want more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Jonathan Cohen, acting U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Mr. Cohen serves at the pleasure of the President and represents the United States on the U.N. Security Council. Proverbs 16:19 reminds us of the importance of allowing God to guide us in our decisions, especially decisions made on a global scale. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you for guidance for Jonathan Cohen as he represents our country at the UN. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Help support the prayer team by signing up for our matching challenge, now through July 4th. Details available at pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Giving Nike the boot. That story coming up.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
What in the name of Yankee Doodle Dandy was Nike thinking? The sporting goods giant decided to recall a shoe that featured a colonial version of the American flag, one designed by Betsy Ross. The Wall Street Journal reports ex-NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick told company officials he was offended by the flag, told Nike that it should not sell a shoe with a symbol he and others consider offensive. My new book comes out in September, Culture Jihad. It exposes how the left is attacking our culture, our traditions, and this is a classic example. The idea that a colonial flag offends Colin Kaepernick is plumb nuts. Some have wondered if the culture jihadist will come after the Washington Monument and the Jefferson Memorial. And the cold hard reality is, yes, they will. Mark my words, folks. I'm not a big fan of boycotts, but in this particular case, I'm going to buy my shoes somewhere else. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
They fought us tooth and nail against that $4.5 billion of humanitarian aid that the president needed, that DHS needed, that HHS needed in order to better conditions at these facilities. They fought us for months on this. They said there was no crisis. We asked for a vote in the House 17 times. Yeah. They refused to do it. They don't talk about what the actual problem is, which is tens of thousands of people coming across and overwhelming our system. Okay, and then they have to answer the question, should we have a system at all? And they say no. Well, then what is the point of even having a border if we're not going to enforce any kind of management over who comes in and out of our country? Yeah, they don't want to answer these tough questions because in the end, they want open borders. Yeah.
So this is the deal. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez huffs and she puffs, and yet she would not vote to give any kind of aid as she fought the president on it. In fact, she said, no. That was her response when it came to voting. So they are creating a situation that's untenable. And it's certainly, look, from my perspective, certainly, if you want to blame a party and make this political, the Democrats are very much at blame for this. Are you kidding me? They've been pushing for open borders for such a long time. They've been changing the rules. It happened. It accelerated under the Obama administration in a frightening way and at a frightening pace to get in as many people as possible. That's absolutely true. But the Republicans are also responsible in their own way for just doing nothing. I think of Paul Ryan and his vacant stare and his young boy smile and his OG doing nothing. Because Paul Ryan was tied into corporate interests and not interested in dusting, because corporate America wanted these immigrants to come in because it was cheap labor. Same thing with Mitch McConnell. That doesn't mean, but there are some, anybody that fights back on this in the Congress is a Republican. Both of those things are true. I don't see any Democratic champions on trying to secure our border. I just don't see it. So if you want to make it political, that's what it is. And by the way, the other fault lies in the parents, the people on the border from the southern and central American countries cannot be absolved of their own blame on this. What they are doing is illegal. They are not allowed. They, even if we don't control our borders, they are not. It is not legal. It is not lawful. It is not right for them to invade another country and come in and take its resources for themselves without permission, without coming in the right way. It is also, there is a way to come in and seek asylum. And if they don't do that, which is what happened to that dad. And by the way, it was a little girl, not a little boy. Not coming in the regular process, trying to rush it. It's not our fault that the man drowned with his daughter. That doesn't make it any less tragic. But to sort of stir this up and make it sound as though I keep hearing this is worse under Donald Trump. It's worse under him. It's more than it ever has been. Well, the reasons are obvious. He can't do anything. Every time he tries to do something, the courts or the left or the Congress stop him. And so that's pretty obvious, isn't it? I could lay it out there in detail, but it's just pretty obvious that he's being blocked in every way he turns. So I do think there's no question the left is using this. They're manipulating it. I think they are changing the subject from the debates last week, which did not go very well for them. Oh, and by the way, yes, I misspoke. By the way, it's Joe Scarborough. I was told I said George. I didn't know. That I said that. But Joe Scarborough is the one who said that debate was a disaster. And he usually does not say those kinds of things about Democratic debates. I want to change the subject just for a second because I want to get in some other stories here before we open the phone lines because we're going to open them today. The boycott of Nike. Nike has removed these shoes from the stores because it has the Betsy Ross flag on it. You know about that. Colin Kaepernick, who was the football player that was one of the first to kneel during the national anthem, he said it was because of, police brutality to the black community and not the flag. But now we know that because he is protesting these shoes with the Betsy Ross flag on them, which were coming out right during the 4th of July, we know he has a problem with the flag. We know that Colin Kaepernick was, and I assume still is, very involved with a Muslim woman who's very ardent in her faith.
These red, white, and blue Nike shoes were supposed to hit store shelves this week.
Oh, that was interesting. So we know that Colin Kaepernick is the one who weighed in on these shoes and said, not those shoes. And so the response to this has been pretty interesting. The governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey, has made an interesting statement. He says, "We are going to allow a plant to be built in Arizona, but we're not going to do that now. Arizona's economy is doing just fine. We're not going to partner." I'll read exactly his words. Nike has made its decision, and now we're making ours. I've ordered the Arizona Commerce Authority to withdraw all financial incentive dollars under their discretion that the state was providing for the company to locate here. Arizona's economy is doing just fine without Nike. We don't need to suck up to companies that consciously denigrate our nation's history. So God bless Governor Ducey for doing that, for someone pushing back. And now there is a boycott of Target. And one of the people leading that boycott is Ted Cruz. And he's issuing, he says, I love America. I stand for the anthem, respect the flag, and honor the men and women who fought to defend our nation. I respect free speech, and I'm exerting mine. Until Nike ends its contempt for those values, I will no longer purchase Nike products. At walk away from Nike, retweet if you agree. I do agree. At walk away from Nike, I certainly agree about this. And I would encourage the rest of you to boycott Nike products. We've just put up with enough. We've just put up with enough. I've had it. You can't boycott every company, but you can with some. We're currently boycotting Target. AFA is boycotting Target, and I'm actually boycotting Disney. I have boycotted Disney for years. I broke my boycott for the first time in probably 20-something years when I took my grandchildren to Disney last December. But with their recent actions about boycotting Georgia because of their vote on the sanctity of human life, I'm back to boycotts. That's it. And so we need to take a stand. There's no question about it. That reminds me of a Facebook post I got this morning that I want to share with you from a listener. And he says, this from James. He says he listens and appreciates what I do. I can't listen every day. I disagree with you sometimes. So this is what he says. So yes, we are called to be nice. You notice at the beginning of every show, I say, we're not called to be nice. So he says, yes, we are called to be nice. There are many scriptures, passages that make that clear. And he gives the quote of Romans 12, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's from Galatians 5. Yes, James says to me, we do sometimes have to be confrontational, but should we be nice, not be nice in the process? So James, no, we shouldn't be, actually. You'll notice that in that list of fruits of the Spirit, nice is not listed. You know, patience and kindness and goodness is not niceness. And this is what I feel that niceness is killing us. It's the reason why Christians won't fight. It's the reason why you still send your kids to public schools, even though they're being indoctrinated in the most horrendous immorality, just the LGBT system alone. The fact that they're being brainwashed each and every day, and you don't care enough to stop it. You're being nice. You're afraid your teachers, your kids' teachers, I don't know about you, James, personally. It's not personal to you. I'm just telling you, Christians have become so bland, so unconcerned, so non-confrontational, so nice that we allow all of this to happen to our country. We don't take a stand because we want to be nice. You know, nice is about us. Nice is about how people perceive you. That is not what we're in the business of doing. We should not care a whit about whether people think we're nice. Now, being gentle, gracious, kind, forgiving, all of those things, the fruits of the Spirit, that's actually different. And that's about exampling God's Holy Spirit and His fruits. Nice is about wanting people to think well of us. That's the part we got to scrap. No, we have been too nice. We've let too many things take place under our watch, and I think we have to stop it. I want to give you an example. This really upset me this morning. LifeSite News has posted a story about a 10-year-old girl. Now, this is in Great Britain, but it could be here. And the reason I'm pointing out this is because this girl is an amazing girl, and I want you to hear her. Her name is Casey. She, along with a classmate named Farrell, were suspended from Hevers Farmer Primary School in Croydon, South London. And that's because they asked to be exempt from Pride Month LGBT lessons. They asked if they could we just don't want to be a part of that. And so the teacher suspended them, yelled at them, according to these kids and according to other kids who were witnesses to that. The teacher tells a different story. They were suspended from school for 5 days, the teacher said that they expressed a hatred and wanted LGBT persons to die, and the kids said they didn't say that. Well, I want you to hear this girl, Casey, as she gives her own side of the story. Here it is.
I only learned what homophobic means the other day, and it means that you don't like LGBT people. So I was confused when she said that I was being very homophobic. I'm not homophobic. I'm just against the point of putting it in schools and teaching it to children. I think that they're trying to confuse children into saying, what are you? Because before anybody knew what LGBT meant, everybody knew what gender they were. But now people are confused and they're saying that they're bisexual and trans because they're confused and people are trying to say it's okay. But before all of this happened, they were completely confident of who they were, but now they're not. My mum isn't telling me to say this. It's completely myself, because my mum's not the one that's going to school to see this happening. I am. So this is my opinion and what I'm saying to make to stop LGBT from lessons from happening in school, because it's really affecting other kids. And even though you might not think that it's affecting other kids, it is, because now they are losing confidence in their self and looking at their self and thinking, why am I this person? Why couldn't I be someone else?
Listen, that's a 10-year-old girl, Casey. 10 years old in school in Great Britain, and yet the same thing, as you well know, is happening here in the United States. I want to tell you something about Casey. She is African-Jamaican. And she is Christian. And she says to her teacher, Farrell actually says this, that's her buddy, it's a boy. Farrell said he was of African-Jamaican heritage, and because they're, everybody is Christian and Catholic, so they don't accept LGBT. Now, these kids are amazing, and so they were both suspended today for 5 days. I just think that's it. We'll put that story on our Facebook page, and that brings me back to what I was just saying to James. Now, these parents of these kids obviously have equipped their children, but that's only two kids in a classroom. And I think when you see kids in America, you don't see a lot of pushback because parents are so afraid, Christian parents, so afraid. I can't talk to their teacher because the teacher might make them feel bad in class, might make them stand out, might not give them such a good grade. And so unwilling and wanting, of course, to be nice, always nice, always nice. We want people to think we're nice. No, we've got to start fighting. We have to start fighting. So that was my point. We've got Colin Kaepernick, we've got the shoes. Betsy Ross, of course, was the little lady who created our first flag. She stitched it together by hand, designed it herself. And that was the first flag of the 13 states. And it's beautiful. And those shoes, by the way, that Nike produced were beautiful as well. But now we won't be able to wear them because Colin Kaepernick was afraid. He was afraid that that would be offensive to some people. And so Colin Kaepernick got what he wanted, but the rest of us didn't. And so I think we should boycott Nike. That's what I think. Let me go back to some other Facebook posts before we take the break and open the phone lines. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And so I want to read this first one because this is from Tamara. She says, I had to write to you. I love your show. She said some very nice things. But she says, yesterday, though, I was a little surprised at the way you treated the caller, James. And James is the guy who called in last week and said he was a poor man. And I thought he was saying a core man, core man. And I got testy with James. I did. I got really two Jameses this morning. I'm having trouble with the name James, I guess. And I do need to apologize to James. And let me just say, if I could explain that. We've just been talking about the SEIU unions and their thuggery. And I actually thought James was a plant. And when he said, I'm a core man, I thought that was some reference to some leftist group. And that's why I got really... I did not understand at all that he was saying he was a poor man. I still didn't like what he had to say, but I would not have treated him that way if I'd understood. So I do owe him an apology. So, Tamara, I appreciate you saying that. And I just haven't had a chance to get off the track of news But I do want to apologize to James because I did misunderstand him. All right, so we'll come back in just a second. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.
They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. These words were shared between Cleopas and his companion on the 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus as Jesus, in resurrected form, used the Hebrew scriptures to reveal himself to them as the Messiah. There are at least 109 distinct biblical prophecies the Messiah had to fulfill. The mathematical probability of such a feat occurring is astoundingly absurd, yet that absurdity is satisfied in Jesus, the Messiah. Come, let us adore him.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner. For more, from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
And this is where I often say that the Word of God is not meant merely to be consumed. The question is not how many scripture you can retain. The question is how much scripture can you use.
Now, thoroughly enjoy the Hamilton Corner. It's a bright light, just a priceless information, and God's Word is so needed.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, want to go shopping later?
Yeah, sure. Where you want to go?
Oh, we can go to JCPenney's, Belk, Target.
Whoa, wait. I was with you until you said Target.
What's wrong with Target?
What's wrong with Target? You mean besides the fact that they have an open door policy that lets men into women's restrooms, that Target?
Wait, what?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, before we go, grab your laptop, go to AFA.net, and sign the pledge to boycott Target.
Okay, I'm on it.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Some folks say the Declaration of Independence has little legal significance in comparison to the Constitution, but they are quite wrong. The Declaration brought the United States into existence. On July 3rd, the United States did not exist. On July 5th, it did. The Declaration, crafted by our founders, affirms that man is a created being, not an evolved one, and makes it clear that our fundamental civil rights do not come from government, but are a gift from God. The Declaration means that we can never, in America, separate God and government, since God is the source of our rights. Government's job is only to protect them. And Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves based on the declaration that all men are created equal. You can't get any more legally significant than that. Happy 4th, everyone.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. George Soros and Charles Koch have several things in common. Both are billionaires. They use their immense wealth and that of others to influence politics and policy. And they seed and fund institutions to advance their respective agendas. Soros for the hard left, Koch historically for the more or less right. Now, they share something else. Messrs. Soros and Koch are reportedly jointly giving a man tied to the Iranian government $5 million to oppose Donald Trump's efforts to counter it. In the past, the mullah's media have applauded Trita Parsi as a member of the Iran lobby. He helped the Obama administration negotiate and promote its odious nuclear deal with Tehran. Now, he intends with the billionaire's money to build a platform for campaigning against Donald Trump's national security policies. Paging friends of Charles Koch, it's time for an intervention. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Yeah, I'm back. Listen, I was just talking to Rob off the air about there's just so much news, and I apologize to you that I try to do so much that sometimes I confuse you, and so I want to take a chill pill here and try to make some other important things as clear as I can before I go to the phone lines. This is from Brenda. I read to you a list of ways to create a social estate attributed to Saul Alinsky just a few days ago. And it was sent to me by someone I trust. I don't have time to check, verify every single thing I share with you because I'm reading so much. But I don't read everything, obviously, from sources I don't trust. I always check those things. And after I read that completely, because I read it quickly preparing for the show, I thought it didn't sound quite right to me. Not that it wasn't true, but that's Alinsky. I wasn't sure that was something that he would have written because it was very specific to our time. And so I looked it up and it looks to me like it's coming from that list of how to create a social estate is a legitimate list, but it is sort of altered for our time. But it is part of a communist list that has been broadly applied in other cultures. In fact, Jan Kozak has written a book called And Not a Shot Fired. It's a book about how the Soviets turned Czechoslovakia from a capitalist nation to a socialist nation in only 3 years. And it is the same rules. It's taking over healthcare so that you control the people completely, disarming them so that they have no defense. And that was just two of them. So I apologize to you that I read that list without having a chance to check that before I shared it. It's not Saul Alinsky, although trust me, that's the very thing that he taught. It's just not that list was not attributable to him because it's too relevant to our particular times. Somebody asked, this is from Brenda. She asked me about that. But then she said, okay, bottom line, she looked Saul Alinsky up in Wikipedia and she said, it says he was a great organizer who helped the black community. Brenda, a list of this, you can be very sure. I know a lot about Saul Alinsky. And Saul Alinsky is all that I said he was. The list may not have been attributed. That particular list might not be attributable to him, but he was a wicked man. Trained with the Chicago mob. His rules for radicals, if you just pull that up and read it, you will see exactly. Again, he dedicated it to Lucifer, the first great rebel. He was a wicked person. I've heard tapes of his teaching. You would shudder if you even heard just his voice. He was all in favor of using violence and whatever it took to overtake a society or a culture. And Hillary Clinton studied under him directly. They were friends. Barack Obama did not study under him, but he studied the Alinsky rules. It's a big deal in Chicago and actually infiltrated the Catholic churches in Chicago. So of that you can be sure. So don't be looking at Wikipedia. And I hope you trust me at least that much. The list itself was not accurate that it was attributed to him. The list is accurate. But Alinsky didn't write that particular list. But he certainly wrote his own in Rules for Radicals. So, all right. Enough of that, I think, for the moment. Let's go to the phones. Again, our phone number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Joe in Alabama. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Listen, I want to talk about being offended. You know, there's a lot of things that offend people. Colin Kaepernick's pair of shoes. Well, listen, I don't know where the left is want to draw this line, because the comments that Ocasio lady made highly offend me. I mean, is Nike going to come out against her because I'm so hardly offended? Hillary Clinton offends me. Chuck Schumer offends me. Bill Clinton offends me. Are you understanding my context?
Yes, I am, Joe. I'm running there with you. Yes, of course. And it is ridiculous. We are into this. You're right. We're becoming, as some would say, snowflakes. We can't handle any kind of offense. And you're talking about Nike then taking on that offense and taking out all these shoes and all the stores just because of one dude who is a football player who would not acknowledge the national anthem. Wore these shoes himself that had pigs with police hats on them, his socks.
Right.
They had pigs with police on it. So that's who's making the decision on what kind of shoes Nike should sell. It's ridiculous,
right.
Joe. I think you're right. Let's go to Lance in Oklahoma. Good morning, Lance.
Hey, yes, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so what's on your mind, Lance?
Well, I was thinking about the people talking about being nice. And so it reminded me of the Bible verse of Matthew 10:34-36, that Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace but a sword, and that your enemies will be within your own household. You know, and the Bible also says that live at peace with all people if possible. So the question is, when is it not possible to live at peace with people? You know, so there is a dividing line in Scripture for when that moment comes. And I would suggest that's when they are total against God, Scripture, denigrate Jesus. They submit these poor children to teachings that warp their brains. And Jesus said that it's better to tie a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the ocean than to offend one of these little ones. And so this idea that's taught in popular culture and church that in order to reach the world that we need to be super cheesy nice is the exact opposite, because what happens is you no longer are the light and the salt of the world.
Yep. Glance, very good points. And you will remember that our Jesus, the true Jesus, was not always nice himself. I remember well him calling the Pharisees vipers, you hypocrites, your breath is like an open-mouthed sepulcher. In other words, you stink like a grave. He wasn't very nice at times, so I'm not sure how they square that part, but he believed in getting angry for the right reasons. Be angry, but sin not. Be angry sometimes. Be angry when your kids are put in public schools and the teachers teach them the most immoral kinds of things possible. Don't let them sit there and absorb that day after day. Do something, say something, and stop being nice. All right, Lance, thank you. Let's go to Stacy in Texas. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning. Thank you, Sandy, for taking my call. I just had a point with regard to the children, public school, and our culture. I raised my children homeschooled, public school, and Christian school, and by far my children did better when they had less of the culture, and this was 20 years ago. I can't even imagine today what it's like in public school just from what I read and hear. And my thought is, who are they being influenced more by? 2 hours by mom and dad at night, an hour maybe on Sunday, or the 8 hours a day, every day, Monday through Friday, where propaganda is being pumped into their mind and their peers are cheering them on to go with the flow. And that's my thought. I can't even imagine. I'm not saying everybody should, homeschool. It's a great option. I enjoyed it. And Christian school, I agree with Janet Medford, who believes that churches need to support nonprofit Christian schools more. I think more Christian school, not less, and Christian education lived out what they see in their educators is where they're going to, you know, get their most influence. So the question is, who are your kids being influenced by? And that's my thought. And
yeah, Stacy, very well said. And of course, that applies to college now too. I mean, although, you know, I don't know why parents don't get angry about what's happening on college campuses and why they write these big checks and send their kids off to these major institutions. They're not adults yet. I don't care what they say. They're not adults yet. And so they have 4 years of indoctrination into, unless your child, you know your child really well, and your child is really steeped and grounded in their faith. I would have to say this, Stacy. My son is 39 years old, and he's getting his PhD. I'm sure I've said this, in St. Andrews in Scotland. And I asked him just when I saw him last, I said, Jeremy, all right, honey, how's your heart? How's your own commitment to the Lord? You are sort of in a situation where there are some real believers, but there's a ton of apostasy, really. There's a ton of bad teaching. There's tons of leftist teaching of Scripture. So how are you surviving all of that? And how is your relationship with the Lord? And does it affect your belief in God? He said, Mother, he said, that will never affect my faith in Jesus. He said, that's like breathing to me. It has no effect whatsoever. And so, so my son can survive in that culture because he has a profound faith, I had to ask him myself, because I worry sometimes, but he's 39 years old, and he's had, he grew up with me, so you can imagine how awful that was in some ways. So, but a child has to be steeped, has to be able to defend and understand, and I'm afraid parents have really abdicated and then have been too nice to cause trouble when they do go to public schools. So anyway, Stacey, well, points well taken. And by the way, I do agree with Janet Mefford about Christian, school churches taking more responsibility for Christian education. That would be a wonderful thing if churches could ante up and use that kind of as a missions. How about your missions budget going to schools, Christian schools? Wouldn't that be something? It would help parents, especially parents who can't afford, and many parents, Christian parents, cannot afford a private Christian schooling. But enough of that for the moment. Let's go to Rob in Arkansas. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. I'm so honored to talk to you. My wife of 17 years, I told her, I said, one of these days I'm going to talk to her. And she says, well, you listen to her more than you listen to me.
Oh, give your wife my apologies.
No big deal. She was joking when she said that. So I wanted to comment on the 10-year-old. I am so amazed by her. When I was listening to that yesterday on Janet's show, it made me understand one thing, that the country is coming to indoctrination more and more. And so it has caused me to move that when the fall comes and my children go back into school. Now, mind you, I've got 7 children at home and 3 others that are on their own. But
wow,
it's led me to putting my children in Christian schools. I've had them in there before. I'm not afraid to do it. If that's to protect my kids' salvation from indoctrination, to have schools make them believe, well, this is the way it's going to be, and if you don't like it, we're going to suspend you. Okay? And so that's where I am with that, and I just, I'm so amazed by a 10-year-old. That's what I want my children to see, is exactly what that 10-year-old said, because what came out of her mouth was from the Word of God.
Isn't that the truth?
And
isn't that the truth, Rob? I was just really, I didn't play at all, you know. I just was blown away by the wisdom of that 10-year-old and the teaching of her mother, the teaching of her mother. It stunned me. Rob, I've got to move on, but I appreciate so much your compliments, and I also really appreciate your, that's going to be hard, sending 3 kids to private school. So we wish you all the best with that. Let's go to Scott in Tennessee. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Sandy. I just want to move a little bit along the same lines. We're really in bad shape here. I think everyone knows that, the conservatives, the Christians, the country. When you have the education system doing this indoctrination, and you have to really specify, here's a 10-year-old that can talk some truth. What they are really doing, and we've been hearing about this for a long, long time, their plan is so well orchestrated. We are too nice. We've been sitting for way too long and don't get involved. And the older people are the ones, the retired people, the ones that are going to be retired, the ones that need to stand up, because the other ones are too young and indoctrinated. Think of what they could accomplish. They've got abortion going on in this country big time. They're cutting off our own population. They've got now these transgenders with the 10-year-old saying people are confused of their own gender. Well, a lot of these kids are probably not going to grow up to have kids early on and raise families because they don't want to. They're not sure what's going on. They're cutting our own population down while opening up the borders and letting in so many foreigners. If we just don't do anything, and they don't do anything more except just let time go by, in 20 years, we won't have a country for our grandkids. It will have been taken over from within without firing a shot, just
Scott,
like Nikita Khrushchev said.
Yep, that's exactly what we are concerned about, Scott. Thank you for those, I guess, thank you. Thank you, I think, but I think you're right about that. You know, I want to end with just a little bit of hope, if I could. When I was in Russia and did so many interviews with people, I would say 99% of them volunteered to me, this is way back before the Soviet Union broke up, that after 60 years of being taught that there was no God, they all told me that they had a grandmother. I had a grandmother who told me about God. I had a grandmother who told me about God, and that seed was planted, and they never forgot. And when the Soviet Union broke up and truth began to flood into Russia, the hunger for God was there because the seed was planted by the older generation. So let's be faithful. Sandy Rios in the morning.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.